The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee adding its two cents to the growing number of bills addressing federal cybersecurity. Lawmakers at a hearing today offering a glimpse of what the new bill could include. Our own Jason Miller now joining us live with details from that hearing. Jason, you're still out there. So tell us what the committee did, if they had any sense of what this is all going to cover.
Sure. And the rain's coming down here, too, so just to let you know you guys aren't alone.
No, all right.
There's several things that popped up, such as the fact that there are too many cooks in the kitchen, as chairwoman of the subcommittee, Diana Watson, says. She says between DOD and OMB and DHS, they seem to have similar and duplicative roles. And we've heard that before, but it's interesting that it's starting to kind of go from the Homeland Security Committee and maybe the House Armed Services Committee. Now the House, Oversight and Government Reform Committee is starting to pick up that piece of the puzzle. She also talked about the need to have standard policies and regulations across government, and that's obviously been a concern for some time as well. I mean, look at the certification and accreditation processes that we see for IT systems. They're supposed to be guided by NIST, but agencies don't trust each other. Ranking Member Bill Bray, who's asked for written comments from the witnesses about their opinions of putting cybersecurity in the White House, and as the cyber review, which we're waiting for with bated breath this week, seems to be doing. He also spent a lot of time asking the Defense Department and State to ensure that how do they ensure that contractors are not only securing information that is belongs to the federal government, but how are their employees, these contract employees, properly vetted and authenticated? And talked about the issue. This may be something that's addressed in legislation as well. Watson also asked for a classified briefing to address the DoD Joint Strike Fighter alleged cyber breach, as well as some of the other more classified issues. I mean, really, the hearing basically was a fact-finding one. And the new legislation, I spoke with Congresswoman Watson, and she said it's going to be a few more weeks or months before we really see legislation. But this is the first step.
So I was seeing your tweets, and you said DoD and state departments were two that testify. What did the committee learn from those two agencies in particular?
Well, interestingly, DoD has several pilots going on that were, I would say, new to me, I would, admit. One is to address the working with the defense industrial base, now, which is they're basically their suppliers, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Boeing, and Johnson Controls, anyone who really does supply DoD with their not only their services, but their hardware and their software. And what this program does is deal with information sharing of threats and vulnerabilities around cybersecurity, incident reporting, damage assessments, and even acquisition changes. And this is all being led by the Defense Cyber Crime Center, or the DC3, which is really their forensics capabilities. And they're developing a secure voice and data communication network under the DIB initiative to really communicate these threats, these vulnerabilities, these incidents. And interestingly, DoD also has begun working with the Homeland Security Department to evaluate this approach that maybe they could expand it to other parts of government. One other thing DoD is doing, which is I found fascinating, which was they're deploying what they call host-based security, and that's across 40% of their network right now. So I know you're going to ask me what host-based security is.
Yeah, actually, I was going to jump right in and ask that.
Because it's not really clear what it means. So they defined it as, we're talking about firewalls, intrusion detection and prevention systems, basically, security at the network level, so not just on your desktop, but at the place where the internet connects to your network. So that's something that they're doing. The State Department, meanwhile, has also several programs going on, including a threat analysis program, which gives overseas posts and the department indicators or early warnings about potential cyber threats. This includes, in-depth network assessments of intrusions and a coordination of response to these attacks. They also have something that's very interesting, which is a risk scoring program, which they find out and correct the worst network and system vulnerabilities on any given day on any given network. And they grade each organization from an A to an F each month. And in fact, they said since July 2008, so almost a year, the risk on their unclassified network has decreased by almost 80% overseas and 55% domestically. So they're seeing a big benefit from that. And then the one new pilot that they're starting in the next week or so is, so every day you log on, you get a tip, a cybersecurity tip as you log on. That's what the State Department employees do now. Excuse me. What they're adding is a true-false question to a select few employees that will really help focus those employees, but also give the agency some idea of where the extra training may be needed. So they'll get a true-false question.
All right. So take a breath.
All right.
And take a swallow of water. And not everybody who you would have expected to be there was there, right?
Yeah. The one noticeably missing department was DHS. In fact, they were scheduled to testify, and then they sent a notice this morning saying, oh, yeah, Michelle Kwan, the head of U.S. CERT, will be there. But they were told the committee on Friday that they could not make it, and this did not sit well with both members on both sides of the aisle, from Congresswoman Watson to ranking member Bill Bray to Jerry Connolly from Virginia to Daryl Issa, who's the ranking member of the full committee. Now, I did ask DHS for comment about why they pulled out the last minute, and they said Michelle Kwan had a family emergency, which of course lawmakers were understanding of that. But they still thought that DHS needed to show up, especially since this legislation, whenever it comes, will affect them, in a big way, considering we're talking about civilian cybersecurity as opposed to defense cybersecurity, which is a whole different animal.
And I know you've been busy all over the place on the Hill today. So you went to another cyber hearing today as well. What came of that one?
Yeah, that was all about the defense cybersecurity posture. That had every service plus DOD plus NSA, General Keith Alexander, who is supposedly the next in line for his fourth star to be head of the new Unified Cyber Command. So they talked a lot about, what's going on around DOD, how are they protecting their networks. There was no announcement about a cyber command, so let's get that out in front. But General Keith Alexander did say that they are considering one. And interestingly, while they said it's still not concluded, NSA has been given offensive responsibility, defensive responsibility, and operational capabilities across DOD. So, that kind of sounds like a cyber command without maybe officially naming it.
Quacks like a duck?
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
They also, there was a couple other tidbits that came out, a lot of interest around the role that industry plays, again, with securing networks and government oversight over those networks. And then they talked about the rules of engagement. When is it war? When is it spying? When is it, what constitutes an attack versus not an attack. So this was a fascinating hearing.
And are you going to have something with all that running around? Are you going to be able to have something for tomorrow?
I'm going to be live tomorrow on
there you
the
go.
Federal Drive. I'm going to talk about the DOD hearing in a little more detail, and we'll pull some audio from it so people can get a sense of what some of the questions were.